Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's so good to see you in the Lord's house as always, and we're glad that you're here, able to be here, and you're here for a couple of reasons, I'm sure of that. And one reason is to praise God for his goodness and to be here and to encourage one another in our fellowship. So thank you for being here, and may God bless you. May God, through the Holy Spirit, deal with you this morning, and through our songs, through the prayers, through the preaching, that Heavenly Father will guide you and give you directions that you will have a victorious week this coming week. So welcome to each and every one as we worship together. Share with you a couple lines comes from Psalms 117. Reads like this. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Let us do that.
Our opening song is Warm Using 213, first and last verse, and Benny will have the prayer. Let's all stand.
In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depth of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me.
God, our Heavenly Father, thou who is high and holy and above all, how thankful we are that you look down upon us, Heavenly Father, who are much less than you. But you look down upon us with love, with kindness, compassion. We thank you for that. We thank you for the things of this past week you blessed us with, brought us through difficult times and trials, helped us to be victorious over many things. We thank you for that. We come this morning, Heavenly Father, to praise you and honor you and to thank you for your goodness toward us. We pray also, Heavenly Father, if there's a need in our lives, that you, through the Holy Spirit, will minister to us, give us guidance, give us direction, help us to see the ways we would go, help us to do the things that we would do, that we would be victorious over Satan and all his evil things this coming week, but yet we would enjoy all the rich blessings you have in store for us. We thank you for these saints. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we'll use 265, first and last verse.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity you granted us to gather in your house on the Lord's Day. Thank you now for the gift and the giver, and be with each individual that the gift of what our share is. Give us now for our many sins. Go with us to our respective homes. God, and direct us and save us the ends. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. It's always encouraging to see so many people come together to praise God for his goodness. A couple things to look over in our bulletin this morning. We missed some of you folks in our Friday night thing. We had a great time and good meal and good fellowship. So we appreciate those who take part in that from time to time. Notice on our bulletin that tomorrow's Fanny Powell's birthday. Fanny's not here today. She's not quite up to par to be here. They're so faithful. Let me encourage you. It's a little late to get a card there tomorrow, but a belated one might be all right. But let's kind of overwhelm her with birthday calls. Let's see how many people can call her tomorrow and wish her happy birthday. They're so faithful, and when they're if they're not ill, they're here. And that's so great. We appreciate the faithfulness of our people here at this church that is here so regularly. This evening, Bible study at 5 o'clock, and that's the last chapter of the book of Romans. I really wish that just everybody that's here would be in a Bible study tonight, really. We've looked in the book of Romans. It's a great book to study from. And we have in the 16th chapter, you might think it's just a closing, not much to it, but we'll do good to get through that tonight. And there's some good things in there that there's not a person here who shouldn't need to hear and to study over with the group. And for you who don't come and you are well-intelligent people, you could come and help us then to understand some of the things that maybe we don't understand. So it would be good. If you need to hear some, come. And if you are well versed and able to help us, you need to come and to be a part of our Bible study and to help us as we grow in Christ Jesus. That is actually commanded from the scripture that people should come together, study the scripture, help one another to understand so that we can better serve the Lord and better enjoy what God has for us in store. So help us to do that. Any other announcements? I'm not sure if there is. Well, raise your hand and I'll allow you to do that or permit you to do that, however you might say that. Allow you. Isn't that, that's not a very good word to use. I'll allow you. You will have the freedom to do that. Let's then turn to our prayer list. We have several things we want to share with you this morning and bring to your attention. And we are saddened to hear several things that we have on our prayer list here this morning. And I'll mention first of all, maybe you do know, but Thurley Reed passed away last night, and you people know Thurley right well. And also, as we see here, Charles Baldwin died this week, and so there's two families that we need to pray for in that way that has members of the family has passed on. So we pray for God's comfort for them. And we know that God, through the Holy Spirit, is a great comfort to in times like that. We also have on our prayer list Eddie Marshall from over at Sadieville that you know, and he's had a operation, and he's doing okay. And we heard this morning Bobby Gillespie, that many of you know, and he's a familiar person in the community or in the area. Much in need of prayer. Then Jonathan, Keith's son, had a truck accident there in Friday, and so we pray that things will go well. His shoulder is bummed up, and so we pray that that will heal and be well. And then we also look, and we notice that God has been good to us in various ways to different people. And Doodle was sharing with me Friday. Doodle has had this thing with his hip or his back there for some time, a terrible pain. And but many people know what pain all day long and all night is. And so it must be very severe. And Doodle's had to suffer that for some time now, had some relief a time or two with some things they did. But to my understanding, I hope it's all right for me to talk about this, Doodle. For my understanding now, and praise the Lord, we've been praying every day that something will happen for this case. So now a doctor has told him that they've got a procedure that they're going to work as they get this all worked out, and he will be relieved of that. So let's pray, continue to pray with Doodle and Peggy that this will work out for him, and he won't suffer that pain 24 hours a day, every day of the week, that he'd be relieved of that. So I just have to say, praise the Lord, thank him for, getting this information and guiding him to this place that we can get that done. And we're going to look for that to be done. Praise the Lord for it. And so pray for our people here. It's so good to pray for each other when in our needs. And Donna's still in rehab and so forth. Continue to pray for her. Let's see who else we have here that we want to look on at this morning. I got a several here. What do I do with it? Right here. Some updates. Margie Combe has good numbers, means that the chemo is back to work. And and Billy Ellis, that we've mentioned and had on our prayer list for some time, goes back Monday to the doctor for cancer spots on his lungs. Nancy Manasseh, those are some folks that Ron and Tina has shared with us, is still taking chemo but is in remission. And then we have also, we mentioned Ron, and he's not been able to walk real well because he, along with Doodles, had issue back here, the pain in his hip and so forth. So he's going to have a hip joint replacement, I believe it is, and that'll be on the 18th of this month. He's due that. So we pray that those things will come together and it'll work out good for them. And Gary Fuller, that's on our prayer list there. We mentioned him Friday night. Gary Fuller, as you know, he's the guy that comes over and plays the guitar once in a while. Frank, that plays the guitar for us. And he's had a tumor on the brain. And they operated on him, I think it was Tuesday, I believe, the first of the week. And he's home. He was home. I assume he's still home. He came home Wednesday, I think. And so there, it's real serious. And so Billy, his brother-in-law, told me, this is how serious it is. If he doesn't do anything, if they don't do some treatment of some kind, he might not last for a couple of months. If they do the treatment, then he may last for a year. So, but God can turn those things around. And you folks, I put that out on our prayer line. Most of you's got it and so forth. So earnestly pray for them. Pray for all these that we mentioned. But, we know these people. We know their specific needs. And this, just as we mentioned for Doodle and different ones and we've had here, that realize that item, realize what they're going through, and pray for that particular thing, earnestly for that thing. We say, well, God, just heal them. But no, God, we want to see Doodle well. We want to see Gary strengthened, and pray in those ways for their needs. Who else we have here that I should mention? all the people in our prayer list. It's very important that we pray for them and so forth, and keep this. And it is a daily thing. I hope that you have a daily thing.
How's your brother doing?
Yeah, my brother, I was sharing Friday night. He's in rehab down in Sellersburg, Indiana, in a good place. And he's got out of his gown into pajamas. And he's able to get in out of the bed himself and so forth. And they're working with him real well. He had a birthday day for yesterday, a couple of days ago. And my sisters was down there, and they had a grand day. And so thank you. He's doing real well, but he needs prayers. He's still, there's something just isn't working right. And he has this mass thing around him and over his shoulder, and it's a shocking thing. It has a change of battery. Some of you might know about it. Anyhow, his heart is not in rhythm right. And if it stops, this thing will shock him and start him again. And they can't use a pacemaker and so forth. And so it's kind of a touchy thing, but he's doing good and feeling good and looking better, they said. And so thank you for your prayers, but continued prayer. And Pauline isn't here this morning. She was able to be here Friday night, and we enjoyed having her with us Friday night. So she's not feeling good today, and so let's continue to pray for her. Who else are we seeing here? But guys, you know, we could just talk and talk and talk about these people, but we want you to be greatly concerned, and we are greatly concerned about our people, and you people are so wonderful about being concerned about one another and helping one another and praying for one another. How wonderful, wonderful it is, and God hears. And just like we studied in our Bible study this morning, praying to the right God, to the only God, for the right reasons, things happens, and we see them doing it. We see that here. Thank you for it. Okay, as we come to our prayer time, though, be so very thankful, and just continue to seek God for the people's needs.
For prayer hymn, we'll use 292, first and last verse, and Doodlebug will have a prayer. It's all clean.
A friend have God, Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails, however is dry, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of his, but when I love to like Jesus to roll the lines away. It's just like Jesus to greet me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. Oh, what a thing of Jesus, my divine. All is fair and tenderness.
Yeah.
About the invitation hymn be number 448. At this time now, the choir will bring a special.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. As always, we appreciate very much week after week, and we should say that from actually from the heart. We're just not saying that from mouth. We really appreciate your effort. We really do. And a couple of people I missed out. Vernon's here this morning. He says he thinks he's going to live, and so we're glad to see you, Vern. And Bergen was absent last week sick, and he's up and going, so we're glad to see you guys. Always glad to see you folks back in the Lord's house and recovering and so forth. God bless you. James chapter 1, and I just go there to get this, get the title really for this. And I announced last week we would have a message on five or six things that God cannot do. Some of you has made a list. And Sierra, did you make a list? How many things? You didn't. You've been busy this week, I know. And we missed you Friday night. We passed you on the road, I think. And but a couple of people said they made a list. So you share that list with me after a while, and I'll take and maybe use them again. You probably won't agree, but I really wish now that I had taken this, and I will sometime later to use somewhere, hopefully in a revival or something, use these as a series, and then all of them by themselves, one day for each one. These six things that I want to share with you this morning. The seventh one here is in James chapter 1, verse 13, which reads, "Let no man say unto him, he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot, so that's where I got this verse here, cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man." And so I'm not going to preach on that verse there because I just use that for the title. But that would be a seventh one we had here this morning. And we preach, you know, and we teach that there's nothing impossible for God. And even though we say there's nothing impossible for God, which there isn't, but still on the same tone, we can say there are some things that God cannot do. And so we will look into that this morning here. He can do whatever he wants to, whenever he wants to, wherever he wants to, because he's God.
But even though that he's God, there are some things he cannot do. I think it's fair to say I'm just as happy about the things that God can do as I am about the things that God cannot do. And hopefully that you will see that as we go through here this morning. Many Bible passages proclaim that God is all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. God is unlimited in time, that space, force. His very character has determined that he will never do some things because to do them would be inconsistent with his nature and his principles. In other words, God's nature prevents him from doing some things. And these six things are in that category. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says, it is impossible, and you know what that one is, for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Now, looking at that and knowing that's impossible for God to lie, then you can take this book and you can read it, you can look at it, whatever you want to do there, and you can now know that every word of this Bible is true. God cannot lie, and this is the Word of God. So everything in here is true. You can take it to the bank. Just means God is 100% true. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Although the scriptures we see shown repeatedly, his truthfulness, all through the scripture we see the truthfulness of God. If God did lie, he would fail then to be a good God. But God cannot lie. Titus 1 and 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God has made promises before the world began, and he will not go back on them. If he could lie, then he would cease being a good God. Cease being a good God, since lying is not worthy of approval. And I know nobody here lies. I know that I've heard people say, you know, it's all right to tell a little white lie. I don't know what a little white lie is. My dad says you don't lie, or else you will not be able to sit down. But God cannot lie. It's not worthy. Lies are not worthy. Since God perfectly penned the truth, his truth, through humans, God told what to be written in this book. Jesus told the disciples, the Holy Spirit will guide you and remind you of all the things that I have said to you. These were to be recorded. God has used men to record his word in this book, and you can depend upon it. Everything you find in the scripture is absolutely true. We're going to have a study, hopefully before the year is over, about truth in the Bible and so forth, and we will see the truth that's in the Bible, and it's a wonderful thing to look in there and read about the truth of the scripture and to how to know with assurance that it's true. But one thing you can be sure, God's word is true because he cannot lie. He cannot lie. The Apostle Paul was writing to Titus, and he boldly states that God cannot lie when he says. Now, you have to get a picture here of Paul writing to Titus because he is writing to a people of the Christians. And these Christians were a territory of dishonest people. And so you can get the impact here of what Paul is writing to the Grecian Christians when he says, God cannot lie, because you're living among a bunch of liars, dishonest people here.
he says. Take away the trustworthy of God, and he no longer can be God. So it is Paul tells Titus, he tells you, and he tells me, we can take God's for his word to be trustworthy in everything he says. So number one, he cannot lie. And number two, he cannot grow tired. I asked somebody the other night where somebody was at Friday night, and they said, well, that person was too tired to come. Now, how would you like to go to God and ask God for something, and God say, well, I'm just too tired. I'm too tired. God never grows tired. Man's time and labor is limited. I don't know who you are in here as you work. There's some fellows younger than us. There's Michael. And here's a young man over here who's just got back to work. And they can work longer hours than I can and work harder than I can. But as I grow tired, they also grow tired. So regardless of whoever you are and whatever you do, you grow tired. But God never grows tired. And God never grows tired. And God knew that. Because God, in his plan for man, what did he say? He even set the example himself for us. And I think that's probably what he did. When he said that six days man should work, on the seventh he should rest. So there's a period of time that man needs to rest. Man gets tired. And so, how often do you grow tired and weary of things that you have to deal with every day? Doesn't it feel good sometimes when you've had this day at work and you just can't wait to get home so you can just lay back in the easy boy and take it easy, kind of rest? And isn't it good to just, you know, have a good evening meal and then lay down in that nice soft bed and be so comfortable there? You need rest. And God knows that. When a person allows himself or herself to become physically exhausted, their body and their mind don't work right. They just don't work right. They don't function as they should. That's why God said man should have rest. Your mind, as you work, and some of you have mind-tiring jobs, and when it gets tired, it just doesn't function as well as it should. So you need rest. And so, when a person, he or she, allows himself to become physically exhausted, their body and mind does not function well as they should. Their minds can become clouded, and this can happen to anybody. And when your mind becomes clouded, it opens up to, you make choices that are not good. Now, here's a good example. You remember the story of Jacob and Esau. Esau was out hunting, and he got tired. It's possible he had been out maybe 2 days hunting, but even one day, we'll say. But he got tired, weary, and he came home. He was hungry, and you see what happened. His mind was clouded, and what did Esau do? He made a decision that affected his life for eternity. So you see, you need rest. But God doesn't need rest. God never grows tired. God is a supreme being. He exists. His existence is entirely different from ours. He is infinite and all-powerful. God is an eternal, everlasting, tireless, inexhaustible being and worker. Never tired. Isaiah 40 and 20 reads this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. In other words, all that God does. You know, when you stop to think, all that God has created and how he holds everything together and how he deals with millions and millions of people daily.
but he never grows tired. Never grows tired. You found yourself probably at some time or another so tired that you just didn't answer somebody in the right and proper way. Might have been your children or your spouse. And it just isn't good, is it? But God never tires and never talks to us, never talks to us in the wrong way. Never, never, ever does. The scripture teaches that God never tires. He watches over you and make good things happen to you, for you. So he was always at work for your good, doing things that is good for you, always at work on your behalf. The Bible is filled with promises made to us through his faithful people. The fact these promises are to everyone in the Bible. There is a saying, you know, there's a promise for every day. But there's more than 365 promises in this Bible. So there's a promise for you every day of your life if you look and find it. And God never tires of working out his promises. And that brings me down to number four, and God can't stop thinking about you. You know, this is probably a poor illustration, but it's probably true, though. You take young people, and they might not be too young, and they meet each other, and they kind of have feelings for one another, and they just can't keep from thinking about you. I know Maxine told me when we were courting, you know, and she told me, she said, I just can't keep from thinking about you. Gosh, I couldn't keep from thinking about her, you know. And that's the way God is. He just can't keep from thinking about you. It's a good question, you know. What do you think about God when he's thinking about you? I know he's always thinking about you. The Bible teaches us you are always on his mind. Never, ever are you out of his mind. Jeremiah 29:11. How many knows Jeremiah 29:11? Okay, we had that a couple years ago. We were supposed to have that for our thing, you know. And God puts it this way, and I'll probably read it to you because if I go to quote, I'll get it wrong, you know. Always do, but I can tell you out in the field, I can pronounce it every day. So here's what Jeremiah 29:11 says. I know the thought I have for you. I know the thought that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Listen to this. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. What's he saying? He said, I'm constantly thinking about you. How that I can do something for you good. To make things work out for you. Always thinking about the best for you. God is. He never stops thinking about you. You know, if God would think about us as we think about ourselves sometimes, how would he think about us? If we're having a bad day and we're having a tough time, he would think, you know, if he thought the way we think about it, he would think we're not worthy to even think about us. But he's not that way. Regardless of how you feel about yourself, God does not think bad about you. He's always thinking about you, and he's always thinking good for you every moment of the day. God can't stop thinking about you. His thoughts are always for you. Listen to what the psalmist says. Psalms 139 and 17, 18 reads like this. And you can visualize David. And David, I like to read about David, and I try to get in the same frame of David sometimes and feel what he's saying as he says. How precious also are your thoughts to me. You know, David sits there, and I can see David sitting there and he said, God, how precious are your thoughts about me? Isn't that true? How precious are the thoughts of God about you? He goes on to say, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, that
they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. God has his own way of thinking about each person. David knew that God had him on his mind all the time. And he's thought about David in his way, and he thinks about you in your way, constantly thinking about you. God cannot stop thinking about it. Sometimes I think that God thinks about things, you know, when he thinks about things that I do, he probably laughs. He probably laughs. Some things that makes him rejoice. I can see God just rejoicing in some of the silly things I do sometimes. And I think sometimes when he thinks about the things that I do, it makes him sad. Maybe angry. But I think when God thinks about you, the only thought that he really thinks is that he loves you. He loves you. And when someone loves you, they just can't stop thinking about you, can they? You know how that is. And God is far greater than we. And God never stops thinking about you because he loves you. And that brings me then to number 5. God can't stop thinking about you, but God can't stop loving you either. You know, it's sad, but it's true, and don't want to bring up sore points in anybody's life, but it's really sad when you see folks that at one time just loved each other so well, and it just showed so well. And then maybe you haven't seen them for some time and you run across them and find out that love is no longer there. They're separated from that. God's not that away. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. God loves you to such an extent, nothing can separate you from the love of God. God never stops loving you. Even when we feel unlovable, and I'm sure probably everybody here at some time or another has probably said to themselves, well, nobody loves me. And you might have reason to say that, but you can't say, nobody loves me. Because regardless who you are, what your life is, God never stops loving you. Now, there's not a person in this community that God does not love. And I assure you, there's not a person in this auditorium that God does not love. And there's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. You can cheat on your spouse, and she or he will stop loving you. You can do many things, and another person that loves you will stop loving you. But there's nothing you can do. Now understand that. There is nothing you can do to cause God to stop loving you. The scriptures teaches me, and it's pretty plain, that God will love you right to the door of hell if that's where you're going. His love will follow a person right to hell. He can't stop loving you. That's the nature of him. Jeremiah 31:3 says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Yes, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. It is God who loved you and has drawn you to him. John 3:16 naturally says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? Or where? Why did he give him? For you and for me, for all of mankind.
gave his only begotten Son. Why? That we might not perish, but we would have everlasting life. God has nothing but love for you.
You know, I've heard people say, you know, well, God put a curse on me. That's not so.
Some people say, well, God just doesn't like me. And sometimes you'll ask the person why they say that. Well, they will give you some reasons. And you know those are good reasons. I mistreat my wife. God doesn't like me. I go out and spend my money for drinks and drugs, and God doesn't like me. You could just go on, and God doesn't like me, doesn't love me. But no. God cannot. Just because of who he is, he cannot stop loving you. And I'll even go ahead and say, he will not stop loving you. God has nothing but love for you. Isn't that something wonderful, you know?
You know, I know there's people who doesn't care for me, and that's all right. I can't please, you know, as we said,
we can't please everybody, you know. And everybody doesn't like what I do. And everybody don't like the way I look, and that's all right. You know, you just can't do it. You can't please everybody. And, but God isn't that away. God looks upon you. He knows who you are. He knows what is it fair to say what you are? He knows what you are. Knows where you're at. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whoever you're at, he always loves you. He always loves you. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. How much does he love you? And then that brings me to the final one, this. And you might say, well, this should be before, but no, it isn't. I've got them in place. Believe me. Holy Spirit, help me put them in place. Anybody want to take a guess at what the next one is? The last one is? Okay, take a guess, but don't tell me. God never stops thinking about you. And God never stops loving you. And God cannot stop forgiving you. And you might say, well, Benny, that should have been for love. No. See, God loved you and sent his Son to forgive you. So love comes before forgiveness. But God cannot stop loving you. I believe some people view their sin as playing baseball. Three strikes and you're out. God doesn't think that away. Do you think, you know, well, I've sinned this, I've sinned today and I've sinned yesterday and I've sinned, you know, and I've got three or four sins and God's just going to say you're out. No. No. Does God ever get tired of forgiving you? You know, I've heard people say, well, I'll forgive you, but this is the last time I forgive you. I've been forgiving you all these other things and all this other time. I'm not going to forgive you anymore. Wouldn't that be harsh of God if he would tell you that? But he doesn't. He says, you sinner, I'll forgive you. You who do wrong, I'll forgive you. You who make mistake, I'll forgive you. He just cannot stop forgiving you. God never gets tired of forgiving a repentant person. A repentant person. If you have to deal with someone for some dumb reason every day, wouldn't you get tired of it? Wouldn't you think that God would get tired of forgiving you every day? But he doesn't. He doesn't. You know, I think many people are troubled with the fact that they must keep asking God every day for forgiveness. And they worry that God will grow weary of their asking for forgiveness. as they come back time after time for forgiveness. But God will not stop forgiving you. When Jesus says, ask and you shall receive.
Now, I believe that he was referring to material things, really. He just talked about food and clothing and so forth. But I also believe that Jesus also said, and also means, when you ask, you shall receive. And the Bible teaches me that when you ask for forgiveness, God's not going to say, no, that's out of the ballpark. I can't forgive you for that. No. I believe that Jesus would have that also in there. If you will ask, you will receive. And forgiveness is in there as well as eat, drink, and be clothed. I know the scriptures teaches me that Jesus was asked one time. Well, actually Peter asked Jesus, wasn't it? Something was happening and Peter said to Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? 7 times 7? And Jesus said, no, 7 times 70. And what Jesus was saying, if you forgive him 490 times, then that's it. That's all you do. Leave it go. No, he didn't say that, did he? I don't think Jesus meant that you keep track of how much you forgive somebody, and when you get to 490 times, you mark him off or her off. That's not what he's saying. I think what Jesus was saying to Peter, there's no limit of times of you forgiving your brother. Now, if Jesus told Peter that, don't you think then it applies to him himself? Sure it does. That tells us also and helps us to see there's nothing at no time that God will not forgive you if you come to him in repentance. He cannot stop forgiving you. I'm sure Jesus just meant that there's no limit. There's no limit. And if there's no limit for us, God, who is so much mightier, is limitless according to your forgiveness. Folks, that's the Lord's principle for forgiveness. And we may be certain that he did not bind upon Peter the 490 times, and he didn't bind it upon himself. It is a unlimited times. If you heartily come to him, he will accept. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our faults, if we confess our sins, he, meaning God, is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God cannot lie. Every word of this book is true. God can never grow tired of working things for your good. God can never break a promise to you. Never, ever break a promise to you. And God can never stop thinking about you. And God, regardless of who you are, what you are, where you are, God cannot stop loving you, will not stop loving you. And it all comes about because God cannot stop forgiving you. So we come to the invitation hymn. If there's something in your life that needs to be forgiven, God will forgive you. If you need something, God has promised you will get it. He never grows tired of thinking about you, loving you, working good things for you. Will you receive what he has for you as we stand? You can have it through Christ Jesus as we stand and sing the first verse only of our invitation hymn.
King that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. It's always encouraging. I hope that you've been encouraged by being here this morning. And I hope that God, I hope you understand the things that God cannot do. He cannot do them because he loves you. Jerry, would you dismiss us in God's kind care, please?
Our Heavenly Father, just how grateful and thankful we are that you've created a beautiful Lord's Day service. How sweet you come back into thy house, Father, and hear our word proclaimed. We pray a blessing upon those that have lost loved ones, Father, and those that have been in a hurricane's path that just lift everyone up at this time, Father. Thank you for the many blessings that you give us each and every day of our lives. Thank you for blessing us as you have. God, guard direct us, Father, to leave this place and go to our effective home. Forgive us, Father, for the mistakes that we do make. For these things we do pray in your Son's
holy name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.